welcome you this morning to the house of the Lord. Let's begin, please, our worship of our great God and Savior with number 581, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. We'll stand to praise him. Thank God for the privilege of being able to know in our hearts that there is a God that we can stand for, and that we have the great privilege of being of service to him in our time. And I pray that God will enable all of us to see our position in the will of the Lord and to know that we are here not by chance, but with a specific, sovereign, divine purpose in this life, in this time. And let us serve him with all our hearts. And that, of course, is the great joy and the blessing that you and I have as his people. We'll bow now before the Lord in prayer. Father, with great joy and thanksgiving, we come into your holy presence this morning. And we do so, Lord, in the precious name of that name that is above every other name. The name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear Father, we know that there was a time in our own life when that name was not precious to us. We did not sense and know the Lord Jesus as our own. We had not spiritually tasted of him. But today, Lord, that has changed for every born-again believer. And today we know in our hearts that he is our Lord, our Master, and our King. And dear God, today we come to give the praise of our hearts. So weak often, so faltering. And yet, Lord, we know that you are pleased with our attempts at worship and praise. And as we come in Christ's name, all of our worship is sanctified through His great merit. So we are thankful today we can be in this house of praise. We've been given the privilege to come and unite with each other. And I pray that our song and our prayer and our fellowship would all be blessed of the Holy Spirit. Take away any carnal things. Take away, Lord, petty bitternesses that can rise up in our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that You would have great mercy even beyond what You've already shown to us for every family. We know the devil is trying to destroy. We know, Lord, he's trying to tear apart. And I pray that there will be great protection and preservation for marriages and homes and families. Father, give help, we pray, for every circumstance. Some prayers able to be spoken open. Others, the burden of the heart, communicated in silence. And yet, Father, You know every detail. And how happy and thankful we are for that great truth. Dear God, receive, we pray today, our worship in song, our worship in our silent praying, our worship as we read the Holy Scriptures. Lord, receive of us the worship of our tithes and our offerings. How blessed we are to be able to invest in the work of God. Lord, I pray today that You would watch over the many sick ones in our fellowship, prayed for many times. Lord, may a very special hand of healing be upon each one. And Lord, for all who have heavy spiritual burdens, come to their relief. Come to our help and our need at every time. Remember, Lord, the devastation that has happened in the Midwest with those tornadoes. We pray for the many families that have been bereaved of loved ones, taken into eternity in almost an instant, and homes destroyed and churches destroyed. Lord, we pray for Your people at this moment that they will be able to minister to others in their need. Help us, we pray. We do not know when some disaster will come our way. We're not immune from it, Lord. We know that. And I pray that we will be able to handle those matters and the times when they come according to Your great purpose and the great grace that's given. Remember our land today. We always are in prayer and in need politically, medically, socially, and Lord, most of all, spiritually. The church needs reviving. There needs to be an awakening, Lord, of salvation. And so we pray that we will be found in the center of Your will, used, O Lord, for Your honor and glory. Help us and hear our prayer. Dear Father, bless us now this day. Hear all of the quiet and silent intercession in the heart. And may Your holy name be magnified and lifted up. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. We'll stand again, please, as we worship the Lord with Psalm 46. hosts is on our side. It's good to know when you have someone that's bigger than you, when you have a bully that's attacking you, that you someone's on your side. That's always a helpful thing to know. And the Lord's shadow extends far and long and wide, and he covers us. And the Lord is on our side, our safety to maintain. The God of Jacob doth for us a refuge high remain. Be still and know that I am God. Among the heathen, God says, I will be exalted. He will be exalted high. The Lord of hosts is on our side, our safety to maintain. The God of Jacob doth for us a refuge high remain. The organist really wants to get going on this one, but we're just going to end it right there so you can be seated. Thank you. We're going to read, please, now in our Bibles, the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Such a powerful portion of the Word as the Apostle Paul brings his concluding yet triumphant remarks by the Spirit of God, of course, to the Ephesian church that he loved so well. We're reading from verse 10 of chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench, to stop all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching. Be sleepless, the word is. Be sleepless, therefore, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The Lord bless his word to our hearts. Of all the things in this portion that we can pray over, and there are so many practical and good things, it's very helpful as we have been thinking recently about leading souls to the Lord, that God would make all of us personal soul winners. What better prayer to ask of God than to say in verse 20 that I would be an ambassador to open my mouth boldly, that I will speak as I ought to speak, that God will loose our tongues, make us evangelists, make us those who are fearless, the people of God who have faces like the faces of lions, going out to conquer, and yet in the fear of the Lord, in the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And that's so important as we serve him. And as we witness to the world, we want the world to see that we have been with Jesus. So may God bless his word to your hearts today as we have read. It is very good to see you all today in God's house. And if you're here for the first time, you've come back again. You're very welcome. And also all of our visitors and the regular attenders online, you are also very, very welcome. We have followed in the news the devastation in the United States and the Midwest with these tornadoes. They estimate at least 100 people will have died as a result of these. And it is devastation to the loss of life, devastating to the cities and the countryside that have been really, it's like a war zone that went through. The power of the wind. And we pray for Christians that they will be a witness in this time. We pray for people that have lost loved ones, and we don't know of anyone personally that's connected with any of our ministries, but we still want to remember those people. We, of course, continue to uphold the sick ones in our congregation and ask for the Lord's blessing and hand upon them. I had an email this past week from the Schultz family in the Czech Republic, and they wanted to express their thanksgiving to the congregation for your faithful prayers for them. And they are doing better, and thankful for that. On Wednesday night at our prayer meeting, we shared some pictures of the Briggs family. They're not directly connected with our mission boards, but they are well known to the Free Church. They are members of the Free Presbyterian Church in Northern Ireland. They've been working in the Ivory Coast, really their whole ministry in Africa. And now they're able to do much of their work online. And so they just completed a two-week visit there. And there is so much unrest in the neighboring countries around the Ivory Coast. But the Lord is opening doors and allowing them to have the New Testament, the Bible, produced in the Loran language. And that's been something that those in our congregation have been following for some time. So let's continue to pray. They're very thankful for the prayer support, for the practical support. If you want to supply some funds or tithes to them, you can certainly do that. You're able to mark your envelope here for our church offerings, and then that can be directed. But you can go directly to the website for that ministry, and you can deposit that directly there if you so choose to do. Let's not forget to pray for the persecuted church across the world, Christians that are suffering. There is an intensifying of that trouble in many, many lands today. And we pray for that not only in distant places, but also in our own country of Canada, that we will be strong to serve the Lord when the forces against Christianity are mounting with great power, it seems, great strength, and they're spreading themselves like a giant plague. Well, we pray that God will give us strength to stand against that. Let me remind you again, please, of the Christmas card appeal. For those who might be a little bit newer to the fellowship, we have this large Christmas card in the foyer, and the funds are being directed to in-house operations for this particular year, and something extra from your donations. We encourage you to mark that on your envelope, just Christmas card, and then you can sign it. And it's just a way of us acknowledging instead of sending cards to each other within the church fellowship. Well, it's been a very nice ministry we've been able to do over the many, many years, and supporting missionaries and different funds. And just while we're thinking about that, I would encourage you to consider supporting the Pregnancy Care Center. And you can do that directly going to their website, and you can make an offering, a donation. We have been coming alongside with them and supporting them in prayer and in practical ways as they are giving a very important service to avoid women from having abortions. And so please look to see how the Lord would allow you to help in that particular area. May I remind you, please, of the Bible reading calendar that we will be producing. It's at the printer now for 2022, and hopefully it will be available for December the 26th for certain, the last Lord's Day of the year, and you'll be able to pick up a copy of that at the door. And that I challenge you again to read through your scriptures following that program or another one, but so long as you're reading the scriptures, that's the main thing, and studying the Word of God. We've slightly adjusted the reading schedule this year, so it's a few chapters less that you will have to read throughout the course of the year, but you'll still go through the entire Bible, the Old and New Testament, the Psalms, and the book of Proverbs three times. So I hope that will be an encouragement to you, and you'll be able to get those on the 26th. Please don't forget about the baptismal service coming up in the new year. If God is leading you to become baptized, then please speak to me, and we'll be sure that to put you on the schedule. Today is a very special day for our church and for our churches across Canada, because at 4 o'clock we're going to be meeting for a special national time of prayer. We're tuning in via Zoom to our churches across Canada. I'm not sure how many folks will be joining. It's certainly up to everyone to connect up to the Zoom. It'll be at 4 p.m. And so it will give you time as we'll go from 4 to 5:30, and we'll close off right at 5:30, and then it will be time for you to come from your homes to the evening service. There will not be a pre-service prayer time tonight. So just remember that the special prayer time will be in place of that. But our regular service tonight will be at 6:30 in the will of the Lord. On Wednesday evening, for our Bible study and prayer time, we're coming down. We finished the book of Acts last Wednesday, and that's been, a bit of a marathon for those of you who've been here for a while, but thank God we've been able to come to the conclusion of it. And yet I must say I was sad in my own heart in one way, because it got so much for us to learn in our daily practical outworkings of seeing how God was working. One commentator said, it almost seems like we need a sequel to the book of Acts. But then he said, that's not necessary, because a sequel has been written in every generation of how the gospel has gone out, persecution has come, trials, difficulty, opposition, martyrdom. And yet the church continues, and it will continue until the day that our Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. And when he does, then we will be with him forever and forevermore. So, having said that, on Wednesday night, I want to also conclude our study from the adult Bible class of the book of Hosea. We're going to be looking at chapter 14 of the book of Hosea. Could I ask you to read that in preparation for the Wednesday Bible study and prayer? Next Lord's Day, Reverend Ian Gollaher will be the speaker in our services, and I would encourage you to remember the radio broadcast that our brother is doing on a regular basis now. Though he's retired from full-time ministry, he has a very important ministry of the radio, and he produces a newsletter, and it's on our website, and perhaps a link was emailed to you if you're on our church email list, and it's very interesting. He tells a report about where the broadcasts are going, some feedback from people who are phoning in or contacting him, and then some interesting articles as well. So you download that, and I think you'll find it an encouragement to read, but also that you'd be remember in prayer for our brother and his ministry here. The next communion service that we're going to be having, well, it will be in the new year, and it will not be on the first Lord's Day, but it will be on the second Lord's Day. So it's January the 9th in the morning. Just to let you know, that's when our plan is to have the communion service. And at that time also, I hope to bring you the motto text for 2022. And so thank you very much for your ongoing prayers for that. In one sense, I'm very disappointed, because I'd really hoped we would have been having an international dinner in the church here, as has been our custom in the past, but we can't do it yet. But we're just going to have our appetites are going to be well tuned into this when we're able to do it. And if God opens the door, we can do it sometime in the new year. Well, we will look forward to that. But we must just be patient and be careful at this time, so we will hold off on that. Let's sing again to the Lord's praise, please. What is that? 403. Thank you. Yes, 403. I am not ashamed. That's right. Let's remain seated, please, while we sing that good gospel hymn. And verse 1, and we'll stand, please, to sing.
Then he will own my worthless name.
We're singing well to the Lord's praise today. God bless as we worship together. Please turn with me in your Bibles now to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We're going to read the first 13 verses. What I want to do this morning is to review the motto text that we started out this year on. May the Lord bless us in this time of reflection. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there may be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality, your giving, your offerings unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now, I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, in winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now, if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, I pray now that as we have come once more to the Scripture, the Word, I pray that its truth and all the applications by the Spirit of God will be riveted to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that every distraction will be taken away now for the time we have remaining in our service here. Let the Spirit of God move. Blessed Savior, make your presence real to every one of your children, that we'll be conscious of the Savior by our side. Dear Father, I pray that the Word will impact us and that we will be changed more to the image of our Lord, made less like our old self. Lord, help us to die daily unto our old nature, that we may live unto Christ Jesus. Make use of us, Lord, we pray. We are your servants. We don't want to be set aside. We want, Lord, to be helpful and beneficial and useful in the extension of the great kingdom of our Savior. So hear our prayer today. Bless us now in Jesus' holy name. Amen. If you have been using our daily reading calendar, perhaps the phone directory from last year, and then maybe even a fridge magnet might have been in a prominent place on your refrigerator, you would know that our motto text for this year has been taken from verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. It has been a sort of a custom, I suppose, for near the end of the year to review the motto text that we have considered in this past year. Usually when you start out in a month of January, so things are fresh and new, and when you have a motto text, you think, yeah, that's the thing, you look at it, think about it, you memorize it, and it's there. But it's possible that we all can let it go from our minds. It's not there prominent anymore. Busy lives, lots of things happening, things going on. But isn't it good to reflect, to look back, to think about the word of the Lord? We were thinking today in the book of Hosea how many times that the Lord brings his people back to his word, back to their life experiences, back to situations where God's hand was so evidently real to them. And so it's good for us to think back and see what the Lord has done. I remember in December of 2020 how that we were all wondering what was going to happen to us. We were and had come through the impact of COVID, and not knowing the outcome of the lockdowns, of all restrictions, of what it was going to mean to our families, our churches, our jobs, our country, and the impact upon the world. But has it not been true that as we can reflect back now from our vantage point, we can say that the Lord has been faithful to us? He has not waned in his faithfulness, but that's just like our God. Have all things been smooth? Not necessarily. Have all things been happy all the time? No. Have all problems just disappeared? We know that's not true. But what can we say? Well, look around you. The Church of God is still going forward. We in our fellowship, small in number though we are, God has placed within you a heart to go on with the Lord. Our prayer meetings have been blessed of the Lord. God has put the spirit of prayer within your hearts. It has been such a blessing to me to see so many gathered in person in our prayer meetings on Wednesday night, because, my dear friends, that is the heartbeat of the church. Make no mistake about it. And the folks that have been able to continue online with us, it has been also a great blessing, and I've been very, very thankful for that. The Lord has been faithful in supplying our need, because you as God's people have been faithfully tithing. No money comes into our church, for the most part, from outside sources at all. The tithes and the offerings of God's people brought in faithfully, as you have done, that is what is allowing this ministry to continue on. And in our board meeting just past Thursday night, we got a snapshot view of how things have gone throughout the course of this year. And we lift our Ebenezer, our thanksgiving to God, for the accounts are healthy. The Lord has blessed us because he has blessed us through you. He has blessed you in the midst of all that's going on, because let's face it, no one really knew where the certainty of a lot of things as we were in the midst of all this. But we cannot ignore the social, economic, mental, emotional, and spiritual impact of turbulent times that we are in. Individuals, families, workplaces, whole countries, debt load, inflation, it's all around us, and we're seeing the impact of that today. And what about a Christian? How are we supposed to respond to all this? My dear brothers and sisters, we must continue to be the salt and the light that God has called us to be. Does the Scripture have some advice for us in these last of the last days? God's Word is always timely. It's never outdated. the foolishness of people who look at the Bible and say, it's just an old document put together by people of a bygone generation, and it doesn't apply to us today. They don't know the Word, and they certainly don't know the God of the Word, because the Scripture is always relevant. It is always contemporary. It always has the Word for the generation. And it is not by accident, friend. It is not by chance that you and I are here today in this ministry, in this church, in this time period. God has intended for you to be here today. So the question you ask, well, what is my purpose? The Lord has brought you to the kingdom for this time, and He has a reason for it. You are not just a number, brother and sister in Christ, but you are held in the hands of the Lord with great love and kindness and His great purpose. And so as we think about this verse of Scripture again today, may God's Spirit remind us of the blessing that we have. And may the Lord's Spirit apply the truth to motivate us going forward, that we will indeed be men and women of prayer, of the book, of following God, that we will know how to stand for Him in these last of the last days. The first word in our text is the word watch. In January, I reminded you of the meaning of the word watch, but it's something that you really don't have to be reminded of because the word is so self-evident, self-proclaiming. There is the sense of attentiveness. There is, along with this word, watch, in the first place, the first point I leave with you today, of vigilance. There's the understanding of being on your guard. That's what watching means. I mean, we're not talking about watching the TV or watching something else or just watching the trees and not having any real purpose. Those things might be helpful at times. But the word that's given here to us, it has something of greater import to the Christian. The Lord is drawing our attention out. He wants us to sense with the vigilance and to be on guard and to be alert in our day. But alert to what? And how are we to be alert? The Lord calls us to be watchful in our prayer and to be on guard in the time of our temptation. In Mark 14, in verse 38, it says, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is willing, but the flesh is weak." How many times, believer, have you quoted that verse to yourself privately in prayer to the Lord? "Lord, I want to do this, but inside my heart I feel very weak and unable to do it." But that's exactly the best place for us to be, because when the apostle said, "When I am weak, then am I strong," there's a time factor here that the Lord is dealing with. And when He calls us out to be watchful in prayer, it's because if we are not watching, you can be certain that someone else is watching for you. And I'm not talking about the Lord. If we are not on our guard, the devil is watching always with an eye that is sly, an eye that is there to leap upon us in the moment of our distraction. This is why the Lord commands us and calls us. You would not think about going through a place where you knew there were animals that were potentially dangerous to you. If you had to walk through a certain area, you would want to find the biggest stick that you could, and you would want to walk very vigilantly. The Lord commands us to be on our guard because Satan is always lurking around, walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You cannot shake hands with the devil and say, let's just be friends. That will never work, friend. Because he is a liar and a deceiver from the beginning, and his sole and complete purpose in your life is to destroy you, to wipe out your testimony and your witness. That's what he wants to do. 1 Peter chapter 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeks whom he may devour. Watching in prayer, it means, my dear friends, to be on guard and to guard your mind, to avoid the pitfalls and the subtleties of the devil. If the devil was to come and present himself to us as who he is all the time, then we would be much on our guard. We would be much able to defend ourselves against it. And young people here today, I encourage you to stand and be watchful in the Lord for your own life, your own testimony, because the devil is out to undermine your young faith. He is out to take your feet from underneath you, and he wants to make you fall so that your testimony, it will not be of any real impact or value. But I'm so thankful for the youth, the young adults, for the class that's going on, for the teaching and instruction, for the Connect group, for here are opportunities are given, provided within the fellowship, for our young folks to be attentive and be learning the things of God and to apply the admonition of watchfulness in the times when we have these things provided for us. We're to set a watch over our hearts. How do we watch over our hearts? How are we going to guard ourselves in this way? My friends, we're going to be doing this as a soldier would be on guard to protect the prisoner that he was in charge of. In the book of Acts, as we were just reading, in the shipwreck when Paul and all those on the ship landed on the island of Melita, the soldiers took counsel. We have to kill all the prisoners. Because if any one of them escapes, it's going to be my life for theirs. The centurion stepped in and said no, because he wanted to preserve Paul's life. God's providence overruled. But you know that none of those prisoners actually did escape. They were all brought to Rome. The soldier's responsibility is to keep guard over those he is in charge of. So let us be vigilant in our own lives, to be on guard, to be attentive, to remember that whatever lowers our spiritual temperature and cools down our hearts toward the Savior, we have to be very careful about that and be watchful for those things. We must watch and pray so that we do not enter into a temptation situation. Watching and praying, they're given for us here as weapons, our defenses in the armor. We read in Ephesians 6 about the armor of God being put on each piece and by prayer, with all prayer and supplication. And dear brother and sister, the more that we see the need for us to have the armor of God placed on us by prayer, in the will of God, walking in the center of His purpose, knowing that the great enemy of our faith is out to get us, we hold, above all, the apostle says, holding the shield of faith. Why? Because we go through our Christian life in our faith. And my dear friend, if you have not faith today, it's because you don't know Him. Are you here in the church today and you are not born again of God's Spirit? You do not know Him? I pray that God's Spirit would speak to your heart this very moment, so that you would come and taste and see and experience the joy of salvation, the knowledge of Christ in your heart. Let us be careful always, friends, believer, that we are on guard and watching and using the weapons that the Lord has blessed us with. We also have to be watchful not only in ourselves, but we want to be careful and attentive to watch for our brothers and our sisters in the fellowship. Guarding the body of Christ is something very, very important. Be watchful for intruders that could come in any situation of your home. If someone was to come and be lurking around the backyard, well, you'd be on guard. If you saw someone doing that in a neighbor's backyard, well, you would have to inform them, if you are at least a reasonable neighbor. And so we watch out for each other. And being on guard for the body of Christ, it's so important. But how will we do that? When we come to the communion table, the Lord tells us to examine ourselves. And that examination of self is so important, so that we might be in the right place and the right time with the right heart and spirit to be able to help our brothers and sisters in the Lord. If there's something lurking in our heart that's not right, if there's some area of bitterness, let's say, against a brother or sister, if that is allowed to be there and fester, it will become infected and it will spread the poison. And so if we are watching out for the fellowship, we're going to be examining our own hearts and watching out for others so that we don't do anything that's going to hurt someone else. Watching for the enemy of our souls that is always lurking in the shadows. And we are called to watch for these things with a great deal of vigilance. In Luke 12:39, it says, "And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched." He would have been looking if there was an appointment for the thief to come. But of course, that doesn't happen. And so how are you supposed to go? Well, you're going to have your ear tuned to it. You're going to be listening. In guarding the body of Christ, we're watching in prayer against the enemy, how he might come in, against those who might be saying something that's promoted by a false teacher. The Apostle John warned that just as there were false prophets in the Old Testament time, so there will be false teachers in our time. And the only way we will know a false teacher is by hearing what they say. It doesn't have to be someone who's preaching. It might be someone who comes in the congregation, or someone that you meet, you hear what they're saying, and it just, you know in your spirit, it's not agreeing to the Word of God. It's not agreeing to the witness of your spirit. And so you're alert, and you're aware about that. And you want to be watchful, watching over with great vigilance, with great soberness, seriously, and in a constant manner. It's not to say, well, I'll do this a little bit here, but I don't persist in it. No, it means to continue on, to press forward. In Romans 12, verse 2, the apostle encourages us that the transformation that is spoken about there, not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds, it is in order to prove, in order to confirm what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. So the Christian who is watchful, the Christian who is being vigilant in these things, they're going to be seeing the development in their own life, encouraging that development in the lives of their brothers and sisters, and wanting to press on themselves. Believers, when we are commanded from this scripture to watch, most definitely it is that we are to watch the one in whom we have believed in. We are to keep our eyes upon the great example and leader of our faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, that we are by looking to Christ to walk with Him in fellowship every day. He is our great example. And as we see Him in the Scripture, and as we perceive His attitude, His behavior, so often, friends, we will see this in our own lives when things rise up within our minds. Someone cuts you off on the road when you're driving, and the first impulse might be to shake your fist at them and do something and say something. We have to be very careful that our Christian testimony is, it's always going to be on observation. Observation. So people are watching. People are looking. And we want to always reflect the beauty of Christ, because as they see our lives, maybe we are the only Bible they will read. And in that sense, let our lives be living letters known and read of all men. Because, brothers and sisters, we who say we are in Christ, who say we know Him, we are to walk as our Savior walked. And so as you read the New Testament, as you read the Old Testament and see the prophecies of Jesus and see what is spoken about the Messiah, every time you come across one of those, pause and pray, Lord, may my life reflect something of the beauty of my Savior, something of His character traits, something of His holiness, His virtue, His loving kindness, His tenderness, something of those aspects. And the more we are conscious of praying that, what are we doing? We are being vigilant and watching. But it is a great encouragement, my dear friends, to be watching for the return of Christ. He's coming back. And the hope that we have is that He is coming back to receive us to Himself, that where He is, there we will be also. Christ has gone to prepare a place for us. John 14 tells us that. And our Lord's coming back. And let us be with anticipation, as Matthew 24 and 25 speaks to us about, watching, looking, hoping for the coming of Christ. Even the Spirit of John that said, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. May that be in our hearts, my friends. You get cast down at times. Depression, anxiety, it can affect us all. Different times, different amounts. And I'll tell you, my friend, one of the greatest remedies for that is when we realize and know that our Lord Jesus is coming back. And as He is coming back to receive a church to Himself, His people to Himself, let us wait with anticipation in that way, anxiously looking for the return of my Lord. A major part of the hope that is set before us is the hope of the resurrection. Hosea chapter 13 speaks about that. As Hosea gave us that verse that Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 54, that death has been defeated. This mortal must put on immortality. So, Christ is coming back to receive us to Himself. And when He does, the dead who are in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be brought up, caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, we are called to be vigilant in our watching. But I want you to notice in the second place in our text that we are called to be unmovable for Jesus, our Savior. We're called to stand fast in the faith, to quit ourselves, to behave like men, and to be strong. We're called to be unmovable for our Lord Jesus Christ. We must not be tossed back and forth with every wind of doctrine. Some of you might think, well, how does that relate to the book of Acts when the Apostle Paul was in that vessel with Luke and Aristarchus, and they were blown all over the Mediterranean Sea along with the centurion, the owner, all the prisoners. Well, they were being blown about. But of course, that is something that happens in life. And we are not immune from those redirections or sometimes the attack of the devil that comes against us. But what are we talking about here? We talk about not being blown about by winds of doctrine. It means, brother and sister, to be firmly grounded upon the Word of Christ. Know what you believe. For the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits because they know the God of the Word. And when the Scripture is in us, then it will blossom out and it will come from every part of our being. Standing fast for the Lord, it means that we will be unmovable for Christ, firmly planted in Him. Isaiah speaks about taking root downward and bearing fruit upward. Well, of course, that's just basic to the whole growing process, isn't it? Roots have to go down to get a water source in order for the branches and the tree to grow up and fruit to blossom out. Well, we want our Christian life to be like that. We have to go down deep in Christ into the well and fountain of living water. Because when we go down deep into the Lord, He will bear forth the fruit. It will come forth unto Him. John 15 reminds us of the Lord being at work in us so that we will bring forth more fruit. Branches may have to be trimmed, friend. But as our stand for the Lord continues and grows, we pray that we will in faith see the advancing and the deliverance from our enemies and know His grace poured out on us and His blessing. The third point is that we are called to be resolute for the Savior. The Scripture says to quit ourselves like men. It simply means to behave yourself like a man. How does that apply to a woman? What does it mean? Well, we must understand that the Scripture is given to us and the spiritual applications are there for all. It's one word in the original, and it simply means to be manly faced. It means to be those who know the Lord, determined in their conviction, and they're going to be resolute going forward for the Savior. What is needed, friend, in the church today? It's the example of men of God, men of prayer, leaders in the church today. And it's too often a justifiable complaint. There seem to be more women in churches than there are men in churches in some situations. Women sometimes would have to say, I find it difficult to take leadership from a man that is not spiritually minded. That's a problem. And it's a problem, men, that all of us need to take to heart and to consider. Can those around us, do they look at our spiritual life? Do they look at our behavior? Do they look at where we're going and how we're operating? Do they see the image of Christ's manliness in us to be leaders? Well, the closer we are to following the Savior, the closer that will mean when we are seen to be men of prayer and men of truth and men of courage. You know, it doesn't mean that someone is going to be physically strong or physically healthy. It doesn't mean they're going to have a certain physique. It's not about that at all. Because you know and I know that many saints of God, missionaries, people who have served the Lord in every capacity of life, they have been sick of body. They have been weak in their physical frame. The Apostle Paul acknowledged that he was not a strong man in some of those areas, and that his weakness, whether it was his inability to speak well, he was not an orator. In fact, people said that the Apostle Paul was rude of speech. He didn't have the flow. He didn't have the gift of oratory. He was weak in that area. But he was a man strong in faith, strong in Christ, watchful for the Lord, and he was a man of prayer, a man of truth, and a man of courage. So it doesn't have to do with physical things. It has everything to do with our spirit and our walk with Christ. You know, Christian courage is the courage to do the right thing according to the will of God. When we look to our Savior, who is the perfect man, we see one who, with the utmost responsibility that was set on him by his heavenly Father, he fulfilled that responsibility completely. He did according to the will of his Father. And he said, I do always those things that please him. That was a man of God. My dear friends, as we think about these things and we take our place in the body of Christ and we follow the Lord, we want fourthly to be strong in Christ. Yes, we're called to be vigilant. We're called to be watchful. We're called to be enduring and to be faithful in our testimony. But this verse ends off with these words, to be strong. If I was to say to you today, the Christian, you just have to be strong. Tough it out. Find out some inner energy that you will be able to be strong and you'll do well in your Christian walk. That would be bad advice. It would be unscriptural advice, actually. We are called to be strong, given strength in action, in behavior, in attitude. And this can only be done by a man or a woman who has God's Spirit and power working in them and through them. Are we those people who are strong in spirit? Are we strong in prayer? Are we strong in the example of Christ? Do we have the conviction of His Word? Do we have the hope in us that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us? Is God's Spirit in us with perseverance that we're going to go forward and we're going on and it doesn't matter what opposition comes against us because we want to live for the Lord? Men and women of prayer with a heart for God and a deep love for our Lord and Savior. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men and be strong. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, what of those today here who are not saved? What of those who are not really interested in the things of God? Lord, we can lead them to the water of Scripture, but we can't make them drink. I pray you would work by your Spirit in the salvation of souls. Think of those watching online today. Let your word, the word of salvation, come to any who are outside of Jesus. Bless the word to our hearts today, we pray. Encourage us as we reflect back on this year and how you have blessed us and your great faithfulness, Lord, even in the times when we have been faithless and unfaithful. Ah, Lord, you've always been there for us, never to leave, never to forsake. I pray that we will rejoice in the Lord, that we will stand firm upon the Scripture, that we will not falter or be blown off the rock of our salvation. Bless us now today. Take us to our homes in safety and bless us there. In Jesus' name, amen.